I believe that God has some fresh bread tonight. So open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians. Once again, chapter 10. This is going to be our base of operation right here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. How many know the Word of God is the sure foundation? Yes. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. We've been talking about pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a place of safety provided for the devil due to unbelief and rebellion. It's a place of safety for the devil, provided for the devil due to unbelief and rebellion. And that, how many know that the devil finds refuge in thinking patterns that are not submitted to Christ? How many know that the battle is in the mind? We know that. So, first thing we need to understand, and this is what we need to really focus on and continually focus on, and that is the Lord is our stronghold. What we need to do is exalt Him. Amen? We're not here to magnify the works of the devil. We're here to destroy them by exposing them so that we can apply truth to where there is a lie, to where there's deception. And the light always wins against the darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world and He has overcome. Amen? Yes. He has overcome every principality and power, and He has the name that is above every name. And in Psalms 18 and 2 it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." This is a confession that we need to make as well. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. A stronghold, that word stronghold here means fortified castle or a place of security. And so every thought that is not submitted to Christ is a potential open door, okay, for the enemy to come in and to camp out. So if we don't guard our thought life, then we give opportunity for our adversary to torture and torment us. And if we listen to what he has to say, and we start dwelling on, meditating on, thinking on, and eventually speaking on those things, well, that's what you're going to get. If you're talking negativity, if you're talking, you know, I can't, I'll never be, if you're talking that, you know, I'm a failure, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, whatever it might be that the devil has lied to you about, because God hasn't made any mistakes. If we think on that, if we entertain those thoughts, then they begin to magnify themselves within our minds, to the point where now we start to believe something that is a lie as though it were true. We begin to believe things that are not true about us, because we have been yielding ourselves to the wrong voice. So the Lord has given us His Word, and His Word, He reveals to us His heart and who we are, who we really are, not what others have told us, but who God says we are. And then the psalmist goes on to say, in Psalms 18 and 3, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." You want to be delivered from your enemies? Quit aligning your conversation with what he's saying and start praising the Lord. Amen? Start calling on the name of the Lord. And when you call on the name of the Lord, there will be deliverance. There will be salvation. Number one, many Christians, unfortunately, I'm talking about Christians tonight primarily. Now, when we know when you're in the world, you think whatever you think, you know, is what it is. If you have this thought, then you think it's, you know, it's a good thought, it's a right thought, it's my thought. And most of the time, you're not even able to discern between what's a good thought and what's a wrong thought when you're in the world. Why? Because you have an unregenerate mind. The natural man is fallen in sin and will do what natural man does best, that is sin, right? But when you become a believer, now there becomes a battle in the mind between what you know the Spirit of God is revealing to you and what your old nature is trying to get you to believe still. And so there has to be a renewing in the spirit of our mind. And it comes through the revelation of the Word of God to us. God reveals Himself through His Word. And so because many Christians do not guard their thought life, their minds are filled with the things of this world. Example, movies, books, magazines, porn, you know. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, in the New King James it says, "Do not love the world." That word world means cosmos. That is that system that is in rebellion to God, that is headed up by Satan. "Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." And then he goes on to say in 1 John 2 and 18, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Now, in the Good News Bible, it says it this way: "Do not love the world or anything that belongs to the world. If you love the world, you do not love the Father. Everything that belongs to the world, what the sinful self desires, what people see and want, and everything in this world that people are so proud of. None of this comes from the Father. It all comes from the world." How many know that when you receive Christ, you become a citizen of heaven? We are to take, amen, our thoughts and our orders from Him, from headquarters. We are to meditate and think upon and set our affection upon things above, where Christ is. And the world and everything in it, verse 17, that people desire is passing away. We know that. But those who do the will of God live forever. And then he says, "My children, the end is near. You were told that the enemy of Christ would come, and now many enemies of Christ have already appeared. And so we know that the end is near." David said this in Psalms 101 and verse 3, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." And that word wicked means Belial. In some places that's actually a name that is also used for Satan. Evil, naughty, or ungodly. I will not set anything Belial, evil, naughty, or ungodly before my eyes, David said. Now we all know the story of David, most of us, right? Where he had allowed himself to wander too long in the wrong place. And as you know, it led to many problems in his life. And that's what the devil wants to do, is he wants to mess you up. By getting you to meditate, think on the wrong types of thoughts. And folks, I don't care what anybody says, we do have authority in Jesus' name. And we do have a thing called self-control. A sound mind that God gives us in Christ. We have an ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to live in a life of godliness and a life of peace. Amen? And He is our peace. If you find your mind being tormented and you're struggling with thoughts, then what we need to do is, as David said, begin to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to magnify God. Begin to exalt His name. Begin to place Him in the place that He rightly deserves, the seat of highest honor. And as we begin to speak with our mouths what in reality is the truth, that is, God is exalted over all, And we begin to align our conversation with He is exalted. The Lord is exalted on high. When we begin to declare those things, then what happens is your life will begin to shift also into alignment with truth. That's why praise is so important. What we are doing is bragging on, boasting on our God. But we're also declaring what is true. And we're doing it in our own hearing. And in the first 100 years, you know, of church history, they actually always read the Bible out loud. There was no silent reading. Even when they had personal time in the Word, they always read it out loud in the hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So the devil can oppress us as long as we have a sympathetic attitude, right, towards evil. Now, I want to give you a couple examples of things that I've run into, maybe you have, and it's something that unfortunately some Christians have not received enough discernment yet to realize that these things are something they shouldn't be entertaining. And I've actually had people get really mad with me because I tried to bring some gentle, loving correction about things that they were entertaining with their minds by such things as the types of movies that they were watching. Now, I'm not trying to get into legalism here where you can't go to the movies. What I am saying is you need to be very careful of what you're allowing in your eye gate. And there's not a whole lot out there that has anything good for your eye gate. Are you with me? Come on. I mean, if you've heard it, garbage in. Another thing is, of course, the huge influx of porn now, and so many people getting caught up in pornography. You know, this is a stronghold for so many, and it's because it began with the look, and then it became a second look. Are you hearing me? Yeah. You can't help, okay, that first look. Many times it's just there staring you in the face, guys, right? Yes. When you're going through the grocery line. But it's the second look. If you don't stop it on the first one, you're setting yourself up for trouble. And many people are actually, they have demonic strongholds to pornography because they had allowed themselves to wander into forbidden fruit. They have gone in the wrong place with their mind. Another thing that I've run into is I've seen a lot of Christians wearing jewelry that is associated with the occult. And they don't realize what it is because it just looked cool. Or it was, you know, a good luck charm. Or it was a crystal that's supposed to bring you good luck. And anything that you are putting your faith in other than God, hello, becomes an idol. And in some cases, the devil will show up and he'll even trick you. Because all of a sudden, hey, seems like every time I rub this thing or I say the magic words, good comes to me. But what we don't realize is that whatever the devil does you for good, he's going to require much more in return. It may not happen right away. He's setting you up. He's baiting you. I looked on the shelves the other day. I went down to the bookstore, and there was shelf after shelf after shelf for young adults, for teenagers. It's all about vampirism, the occult, Wicca, just constant bombardment of fairies and all this stuff that's associated. I don't know how many of you knew this, but an ex-Satanist said that fairies are actually demons. In the occult world, they know that they are actually demons, but there's something that they can present to the public that looks innocent and cute, and we write little children's books about fairies, and you know, don't you, Jonathan, firsthand about that. And there's others as well that have begun to dabble into these things, thinking that it's just a cute little children's book. What harm can come out of it? And we've left discernment out because we're not listening to that still small voice and that voice of reason, the voice of truth that's saying, you shouldn't be doing that. How many have ever ignored that still small voice before? Uh-huh. Only to find out that I should have listened. I wish I had listened the first time. I've shared with this with some of you, but folks, this some of this Julie has such power on people that if you just say, brother, what you're wearing, and I've even done it as the best I could in gentleness and respect. I said, but that thing you're wearing, man, that needs to go. You know, that has a connection to the occult world, and you're attracting the wrong spirits by that thing. And I've had people over and over again get mad, red in the face. I mean, like rage rose up in them. That bad. I've had teenagers twice rip the thing off chain and all, ripped it right off their neck and threw it down and walked out in a rage. Tell me that didn't have power over them because they had allowed something. It had opened a door and it became a stronghold, a place of security for the devil. We're talking about pulling down strongholds so you can get free, because you can't help others get free if you're not. Are you with me? We have to be free. And we're not going to be free as long as we're entertaining the wrong thoughts and looking at the wrong stuff and allowing the wrong things in our lives. I had one girl that had a unicorn collection, and she was demon-possessed. Cast the devil out of her, and I was actually praying. I said, Lord, what brought this thing on? And on the way home, when I was a youth pastor, I'm driving. She goes, Brother Keith, if you've got a few minutes, I want to show you my unicorn collection. Now, what can be wrong with a unicorn? But as soon as she said that, I'm saying, hello? How many know that the unicorn is the New Age Christ? It represents the New Age Christ, who will be the Antichrist. Oh, yes. But it's dressed up as an innocent, fluffy, beautiful colored, you know, stuffed animal a lot of times, you know, or something that is very appealing to the natural mind and appealing to the eyes. If you looked at any of those cases where they have all the crystals, you know, it's beautiful stuff to look at. Because the devil knows that most times, of course, that's shifting now. Because now people are just going, the deeper they go into it, the more morbid it gets into the word. Now they're drinking blood and everything, and that's just popular now. But it started out, how many remember it starting out mostly with the white thing and with the crystals and the pretty jewelry? And now it's just blatant, you know, drinking blood and sacrifice, human sacrifice. I mean, it's gone that far, even in our nation. It's really sad how far, you know, especially this generation that's coming up has already been duped by this stuff. And many parents don't have enough discernment to know that their kids should not be watching those cartoons. Amen. That are full of the occult. They shouldn't be watching those shows, those horror flicks that magnify evil. And what happens is the children begin to believe that evil is bigger than God because they exalt evil in their minds. That's how Satan does it. He tries to convince people that he is greater than God, and therefore they begin to worship him in time. People wouldn't worship him if they believed God was greater. Household idols. I've gone into many houses, and Jesus's really good at this. She's got a very keen spirit about picking stuff out that's just not right. And so we go together. But I've been into places where they're having things that go bump in the night, stuff moving in the house, seeing spirits attacking and whatever. And usually we pray and say, Lord, what's the source of this? And often we'll find that they've got stuff in there, like the cute little bellied Buddha in there, or they've got, you know, stuff that's connected to the occult or any type of idol, folks. Stuff that they've gotten from Africa, stuff they've bought from even craft sales they were put together. These items were done by Wiccans who had charged them, if you know what that means. And then they say, oh, this is kind of cool, and they bring it home and they set it on the shelf, and now all of a sudden Johnny can't sleep at night. You know, they're having nightmares. There's discord in the house. They can't get along. There's something wrong. Sometimes, but not always, but sometimes it's related to objects that have been allowed to come into the house. So folks, I would pray and ask that, Lord, reveal to each one in this place tonight. Lord, if there's anything, even as I'm speaking, if the Lord has showed something, a picture came in your mind, pay attention. Because it may be something that God's saying, I want you to go home. And don't put it on eBay. Don't bring it down to the local thrift store. Burn it. Destroy it. Yeah. In the book of Acts, they took all their crafts and they burned them so there wouldn't be anybody getting a hold of it. The other thing would be Halloween. We're coming up on Halloween. I don't know how many Christians I've run into. They just think there's nothing. It's just a cute little holiday, folks. Listen, they're well-meaning. The people just don't know. They don't understand what it's really about. But Halloween is an evil holiday. It's all centered around darkness and evil. And so, as believers, as children of the light, we are to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. We are to be light in everything that we do. Amen? And why would we, as followers of Jesus, as children of the resurrection, why would we celebrate death? And let's face it, Halloween is all about death, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from every form of evil. That word abstain means to hold oneself off or refrain. And the form, it says, of every form of evil. That word form means appearance, fashion, shape, or sight. We're going around with death. Wearing death. Skulls, everything to do with the darkness. Oh, people get mad when you talk about this, folks, but I'm going to speak the truth here because it's only the truth that's going to set people free. We should in no way be celebrating darkness or death. We should be children of the light. Amen? Because it begins usually with just the door cracked a bit. And a little dabbling, a little messing around with the Ouija board. I'll go get my fortune told. What the heck? I'll go get my, get my palm read. What harm could it do? Let me tell you about my grandfather who had his fortune told when he was a young man in his 20s. And for all his life, he was tormented by that thing because of a certain prediction that was given. I think he had the death card or something, but that whole thing plagued him. Up into his late years, and at that time I didn't know enough. I wasn't even walking with God, so I didn't know enough to tell him that you don't have to live in that anymore. But folks, that happens. Many people that they entertain, they go to the wrong source for revelation or for a knowledge of the future. They end up being tormented by that same spirit that they yielded to. All he needs is a crack in the door. Now the good news is that stronghold can be demolished instantaneously by Jesus. Instantaneously. You don't have to walk around and say, well, I'm going to be tormented the rest of my life. You may have to struggle and fight for a season though. Because people that have been gone deep into the occult have made a lot of enemies when they come out of it. And so they're going to have a struggle for a season. But if you fight the good fight, they will eventually give up. They will realize that this person is not going to give in. Sometimes we have to wrestle. Are you with me? In the spirit. It's not all like that. Sometimes you have to wrestle. And the best way to do it, folks, is to praise the Lord. To repent, to confess it before God, and to begin to magnify Him. Hallelujah. Because what happens is when you begin to magnify Him with your conversation, you start to believe what you're saying. Sometimes you don't even really initially may really believe it that much. But there's power in the Word of God. And when you start speaking what God's telling you to speak, usually He'll tell you to do the opposite. Amen? If it's a fear thing, faith. Right? Love. Now the devil can oppress us. He's talking about believers here. If we believe he is more powerful than Christ, who is in us. How many know that scripture so well? 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Speaking of the spirits of Antichrist. Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Now, what report do we believe? Do we believe what God says? Or are we going to believe the devil who says, I'm greater? Don't mess with me, I'll mess you up. He knows if you know who you are in Christ. If you know and you believe you have authority, the demons know that too. So, folks, we got to get to the place where we're so saturated with the truth and what God says that it becomes my thinking in the sense that my thinking aligns with God's thinking. And so when I see a lie presented, right away the truth says something. The voice of truth says, no, this is the way. Walk in it. And I do the opposite. How do you overcome evil? With good. If somebody curses you, what do? Bless them. The devil can oppress us if we doubt God's promises of provision, protection, and salvation. Philippians 4:19, how many know this? My God shall supply. That's what we're going to believe. All of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, by the way, he was speaking that in context to those who were giving in support of the gospel. And he said, and now my God shall be able to provide to you because you're taking care of his business. You're seeking the kingdom of God first in everything you do. Now my God shall supply. And then he could say with confidence, God's going to take care of you because you're taking care of his stuff. In Psalms 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over you. Who's that? That's you and I. Amen? In covenant with Jesus. To keep you in all your ways. I don't care what it looks like. That's what we claim. That's what we hold on to. I know that my life is in the hands of the Lord. Amen. I really believe this. That nobody can take me out unless God gives them permission. And if God gives them permission, hallelujah, it's better to be with the Lord, right? But God has a purpose. God has a purpose for us. That's why you're here even tonight. And that is that you and I will rise up and be the light. And that we will also go and do likewise as Jesus did and destroy the devil's works. To break every chain. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Most of the time our biggest problem, I want you to hear this, is not the devil, but our own unbelief. Oh, we blame the devil for everything. He gets blamed for stuff he didn't even do. Come on. Sometimes we're just unbelieving. We're not lining up with what God says. There's a stronghold of unbelief sometimes. Well, I've been prayed for, but it never happens. And so God never hears my prayer. I prayed before, nothing ever happened. And so, and the more you repeat that and you say those kind of things, the more you're talking yourself into a deeper unbelief to the point where it can become a demonic stronghold. You can invite a spirit of unbelief. And then you're really struggling to have anything happen because it's all full of negativity and it can't happen. It won't happen because God doesn't love me. Has anybody ever felt that God doesn't love you? You ever felt that you've just blown it so bad that God's never going to hear you again? I have. But that's a lie too. Because all it takes is for you and I to turn back to Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood that's there on the mercy seat for me. That says free. Free indeed. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm free to serve the Lord now. Sin shall not be your master If for any believer, there's no such thing as the devil made you do it. You were drawn away by your own lusts. Come on. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We're living in a time, folks, where people are not listening. They don't want to hear the truth. James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. What happened with Adam and Eve? Nobody forced them to sin. They were drawn away by their own desires. There was some type of eye candy there that was being presented. Are you with me? Something that looked so beautiful, so appealing to the intellect, that they begin to question then, even after, of course, Satan planted an arrogant thought. Did God really mean what he said? Has God truly said this? You see, the enemy is very good at this, and I want you to hear this, folks, is one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to try to get you and I to doubt the authority of the Word of God and that it is a reliable book. There are some who create an idol god in their own imagination, a Jesus of their own choosing. Come on. Are you tracking tonight? We can create a Jesus of our own choosing. What happens is people read the Word and I don't really like what I'm hearing here. I don't like what it says. Come on. And so, because it's too much for me, or I think my heart can't receive this, I don't believe in this, I don't agree with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it fit me. Instead of my life, right, conforming to the Word, I'm going to make this Word conform to my opinion. And thus we create an idol in our minds that is not the true God, but it's a Jesus of our own choosing now. Are you hearing me tonight? This is happening. It's happening big time in the church. People are presenting a Jesus of their own choosing because they don't like the Jesus that they're reading about. How many know that Jesus is the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God of the Old Testament.
That's right. Yes,
he is. God is a just God. God is sovereign.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
When Job was being bragged on him and by the Father, and he was in, have you considered my servant Job? Well, Satan was there to say, yeah, but if you touch his substance and you mess with his life, or, you know, he's going to curse you. And what did God do? He says, go ahead, but don't take his life. He allowed it. What does that allowing say to us? That God is sovereign. That Satan actually had to get permission from God, who is the sovereign king over all, to touch Job. But only because God knew that in the end of Job's life, he would be blessed. How many times was he blessed over? It was seven times. Wow, that's the kind of God we serve. So what the devil tried to do is mess Job up. In the end, God said, now, check this out. Amen? So he allowed something for a season because, folks, our very next breath belongs to God. Not to the devil. He can't just come in and say, hey, you're mine. If you're a child of God tonight, you're in the palm of his hand and no one's able to snatch you out. You can take yourself out, but nobody can snatch you out. The Bible does say that there are those who will depart from the faith in the latter days. And Paul told Timothy about this. We're not going to go into that tonight. But what I'm trying to say, folks, is that if we're not careful, we will become idolatrous in our thinking. And how many realize that when people create idols, it first began in the imagination? And that's why we need to pull down these imaginations. We need to demolish these strongholds. And every high thing that exalts itself against the revelation of God, what He has told us in His Word. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, Paul said, I am jealous for you, speaking to the Corinthian church, with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He wanted the people of God to be pure and undefiled and not mixed with any other spirits, and not to be perverted by some other teaching or some other doctrine. But I fear, he said, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That word simplicity means single-heartedness. Being singly hearted towards Christ. I am sold out for Jesus. There are no other gods, no other loves. I'm going to follow Jesus and no other gods. Amen? I'm not going to try to make Him fit into my theology or into my opinion. I am going to be conformed into the image of my lover, Jesus. He wanted them to be devoted to the Lord Jesus alone and not to allow their hearts' affections to be drawn away by anyone else. And then here he's talking about the serpent deceiving Eve by his craftiness. He did it with an appeal to her mind or to her intellect. That's who he works in your mind. And that is exactly what these false teachers were doing in Corinth. Now it's kind of interesting because this is a study that God brought me into this place. And I'm not moving on, folks, until the Lord says it's over. Okay? But the Lord has been downloading stuff. 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. For he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive a different spirit. So it's possible for people to receive a different spirit. Who is he talking to? He was talking to Christians. Which you have not received. Or a different gospel, which you have not accepted. The one that they originally accepted. Now they're trying to introduce different gospels. To draw them away from Christ and from being singly sold out to Him. He says, I'm afraid you're going to put up with it. What was happening is they were being tolerant of the false teachers. They probably, my thoughts here, but I know how it is to walk in this body of flesh. They probably wanted to appease these teachers. And they didn't want to cause any ways for the sake of getting along. Yep. They didn't want to be labeled, and this is a very popular word today that the world likes to use, intolerant. So let's tolerate everything, right? Because we don't want to be intolerant. Heaven forbid that there be some standard of right and wrong. Or maybe they just might have wanted to exchange that Jesus that they first received with the one that suits them. Hey, I kind of like that Jesus a little bit better than the one I originally heard about. 2 Corinthians 11 and 5, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Paul was being sarcastic here, by the way. And what was happening, there was these super spiritual people in the Corinthian church that were coming and going, and they were so spiritual that they were, in many people's eyes, above even the authority of the apostles. Come on. God had given special authority to the apostles. And they were placing themselves up above apostolic authority as what Paul called super apostles. These were the false teachers that were drawing, seducing people away. How many know there's nothing new under the sun? The same problems in the Corinthian church is happening in the church today in the world. And so they were drawing the people over. And I don't know if this was R.C. Sproul or not, but I got this from my commentary, and he said, the different gospel, listen, of the opponents conforms to the worldly ways of thinking so much that Paul and his apostolic ministry, what was his ministry? His ministry was manifesting the death of Jesus through adversity and suffering. Oh, I don't know if I like that gospel. I don't want to be told that I may have to suffer. Come on, we're living in the time, aren't we? You see, Paul's gospel is despised and rejected in favor of ministries which satisfy the current taste for eloquence, philosophical wisdom, wowing people with your knowledge, and spectacular displays of spiritual power. Whoa. Now, does God move in power in the church? Absolutely. Signs and wonders and miracles that will blow your mind. Amen? Yes. But the false apostles will also do signs and wonders and miracles to blow the minds of the unsuspecting. And so just because there are signs and wonders, it does not validate the prophet. What we need to do is we need to judge, first of all, by the Spirit. As a sense of what's going on here below the surface. It could be just a brother that's gone astray that needs some direction to get back. We've all made mistakes like that, right? I mean, our theology isn't 100% all the time. But it could be just a counterfeit apostle or someone who is an imposter that's operating with a demonic spirit that is mimicking the Holy Spirit, and the naive and the impressionable and the unsuspecting just get sucked right up into that trap. Why? Because often the people that get caught up by this are those who are chasing after signs and wonders and not seeking Christ Himself. What I always say, and you know this, is seek the Lord. And signs will follow. But don't ever seek. Are you with me?
Yes.
Signs and wonders. Because what happens is they become your God, that becomes your idol. And often people are looking for signs and wonders because they want to make themselves famous and not Jesus. A sign is to point somewhere and to someone, right? Give glory to God for it. Hallelujah. Now I want you to hear what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, he said, for Jews request a sign. They were signs and wonders. I want to see the sign. Show me the sign. Did you have any great miracles? Okay. Now, God is a God of miracles. But not everything, all right, that we see is necessarily from God. Or God's not going to do what we want, when we want, whenever we want. He's sovereign. It is as the Spirit wills there are manifestations. Now we pray the prayer of faith and we believe when we ask that we're going to receive it. That's our part. But the results are up to God. And what we really need to say is, Lord, give me revelation. What's going on here? How do I pray? We're learning how to do that, aren't we? But he said, but we preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:23. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. I remember reading a book by Watchman Nee when I was a new Christian. Good stuff. And it was called Christ, the Sum of All Spiritual Things. And I'm glad I read that when I did, because it kind of got me centered on where my faith and my life needs to really consist. It's all in Him. It's not in the stuff that God does, it's in Him. When we worship here, folks, we're not worshiping worship, we're worshiping Him. When we pray, we're putting our faith not in faith, as someone had said the other night, but we're putting our faith in Him, right? And then God will honor faith that's in alignment, come on, with His sovereignty and His sovereign will. There are times when God, because we keep nagging Him and bugging Him, well, are you with me? He will intervene. And He will do things for us. Jesus said if a friend comes to you at midnight and he's asking for a loaf of bread, he's not going to get up. But if he keeps bugging him, and he's talking about being persistent in prayer. So, I want to finish with this. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, once again, in verse 5. What do we need to do? We need to demolish or tear down or pull down arguments. That word arguments is that word stronghold, right? Reasonings or imaginations. Now, imagination is a powerful thing. Would you agree? I had somebody call me just last night. And they were sharing something that they were concerned about. It was someone that they cared about very much was practicing something that, well, they had trouble with, and they weren't able, they didn't know what was quite wrong with it, but they sensed something was wrong with it. And what they were saying is if you concentrate hard enough, you can break through to the third heaven. Now, does anybody here sense anything wrong with that statement? Yeah. How many know that that is classic shamanism and witchcraft? And it has infiltrated the church. If God decides to intervene in your life and take you to the third heaven, hallelujah. Amen? But you don't put yourself there through imagination. Because what you do is you start to set yourself up for a counterfeit spirit to come in and present itself as Christ. Yeah. Or to give you a false vision called divination. Yeah. And that's what the prophets in Jeremiah's day were into. They were into divination. False visions, false dreams. And they were manipulated through their own imaginations that were not sanctified to the Lord. And so many unsuspecting people were coming to the prophets for the revelation, the next revelation. And they did not realize that the source of that revelation was demonic. And the prophets themselves didn't realize it. And what I wanted to say, and I had said to this person, I said, listen, you need to warn her about this. You need to pray that God will give you the wisdom of the word, because this is not the way that the Lord does things. It is not my will, but His will that needs to be done. I can will all kinds of things. I want this, I want that, I will this, I want that. But how many know it's safe to say, Lord, not my will, but Yours be done? Isn't that what Jesus taught us? By example, He submitted Himself to the Father's authority. And everything He did, it was under the authority of the Father. Yale shared a good message the other night about this. Whose authority are you under? Yeah. And we need to ask that. I need to ask that. Am I under my own authority? Am I an authority unto myself? If I just go around and say, that sounds like a good idea, I think I'll do it. Without acknowledging the Lord in my ways, now I'm setting myself up to go down a wide road that will crash eventually. I will crash on that road. So we need to pull down these arguments, all right? These imaginations, these vain, it talks about vain imaginations. Bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought, folks, every thought. It's, again, the first thought. Is not a sin. Are you with me? You may get an evil thought. The enemy will plant that. An arrogant thought. But it's what you do with it will determine whether it will turn into sin or not. And whether or not you're going to allow a place of security for the devil. A stronghold. That later you're going to have to do some serious, you know, repentance and battle to get broke free from that. Now, next time, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about voluntary strongholds and involuntary strongholds. So we're just going to wait on the Lord here, and I'm going to be more specific about certain things. And by the grace of God, people are going to get freer and freer and freer as we're going through this, because they're going to start taking evaluation of themselves and say, wow, you know, I've been duped, you know, by the enemy, and I need to repent. And And folks, I'm not standing up here before you as one that has not been duped himself at times. But we need to hold each other accountable to truth. Amen? It's the truth that is spoken in love that makes all the difference. Somebody had come up Sunday morning and gave me an analogy that I thought was right on. It was awesome. She said, the Lord showed me this early on in my walk. She said, the weapons that we have are the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and love. And she said, love sharpens, you know, the word sharpens love. Together, you can't have the Word without love. Then you have loveless devotion, you have legalism, it destroys, the letter of the law destroys. But in Christ, in love, amen, when we preach the Word of God by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, it is done in love. Amen? When sometimes I may come across as being hard or harsh, it's not my intent, but I'm passionate about these things because I know how destructive the enemy is. And I think we all understand that, don't we, firsthand? And so we want to get free. We want to help others get free. Because our assignment is to be about our Father's business and to destroy the works of the devil.